Newtown Radioactive, June 3rd, 2005. Well, folks, welcome to Radioactive number 8. As always, I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and this time around, we're doing something a little special. We're doing something a little different. We're doing something that I've been threatening to do for weeks now, and that is a review of an Honest to God music CD, with tracks included. It's something I've been really wanting to do, but getting permission to do it has been the challenge. Dave Schlesher on Evil Genius Chronicles, he makes it look easy, folks. Let me assure you that it's anything but. However, I have managed to get a band that has agreed to let me review them on the podcast and to include two of their tracks. The name of the band is The Atomic Swindlers, and the name of the album is Coming Out Electric. Now, those who've been visiting Nuketown are aware that the Atomic Swindlers have been advertising on the site this month, and I just wanted to get that out there so folks know. Really, the reason why I'm reviewing this has less to do with the fact that they're advertising, and more that, well, they're pretty damn good. Because you know what? If they weren't as good as I thought they were, I would not be spending the amount of time trying to get this podcast to work as I have over the last week or so. I've had numerous problems with my podcasting setup, with the programs I use to record it, and now I think I finally got everything figured out, and I'm doing it in Audacity. But man, I would not be taking all the time to do this if I didn't think it was worth it. Now, as for the Swindlers themselves, they're a rock and roll band. Their sound, when I first heard it, really brings to mind David Bowie at his Ziggy Stardust finest, mashed up together with the Fifth Element. You go, Fifth Element, what the hell are you talking about, Ken? And the reason why I mention the Fifth Element more so than any other science fiction example that I can think of is because it's got this just fun, exuberant, I don't want to say wackiness, but just edge to it. That's just, it makes it a lot of fun to watch. And I gotta admit, I didn't like The Fifth Element when it first came out. I thought it pretty much sucked because I was expecting with the taglines it said, which is, this is the next Star Wars. Not the next Star Wars. It's more like Die Hard meets The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And it's that fun, just that over-the-top exuberance that that is a trait that the Atomic Swindlers share. With their lyrics, with their music, just all around, it's got that great combination of creativity and just full-bore love of sci-fi. Now, I first heard about them when their agent contacted me, but what got me hooked was their video for Float, which has a subtitle of My Electric Star Girl. Yes, folks, I have gone out of my way to make sure the band sounds good on this particular podcast, but you can expect me to continue mangling my words. Anyway, the name of the track is Float, and it's subtitled My Electric Star Girl, and it's the first track off of Coming Out Electric. And the sound was great. It was sensual, laid back. Laid back isn't really exactly the kind of word, but it's the kind of thing you can sit back and kind of lose yourself in. Almost reminiscent to a certain extent of some of the tracks off of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. What really did it though was the video, which just made the whole thing even better. It's done in a sort of Samurai Jack kind of animation style, and it tells the story of and bear with me here, of an intergalactic lesbian space biker chick out to rescue her imprisoned girlfriend. If you think that sounds just a little a little campy, little over the top, well, hell yeah, you know what, you're right, it is a little over the top. But you know what, it's still a hell of a lot of fun. And I think what makes it fun is the lyrics. That's one of the things that really hit me about this band when I kind of listened through the CD a couple of times, was just how much fun I was having actually listening to the lyrics. And I can't tell you the last time that I did that. I mean, I think, maybe some Rush songs, when the first time I heard 2112, which, maybe Anthem, and mind you, I didn't hear him in the 70s, I heard him more recently, because I didn't actually get into Rush until the last couple of years. But anyway, the lyrics for Float and the rest of the tracks, they just rock. They're the kind of thing you sit there and you just kind of smile to yourself like an idiot going, oh man, this is great. I can't believe I'm actually listening to this in a rock and roll song. Here's an example of lyrics. I'm not going to do them justice, but on the plus side, you're actually going to be able to hear them in the song. The lyrics that kind of stood out to me in Float were, I wanted to shine like the Silver Surfer, a cosmic queen of the stars. Now I'm just a killer on a waveless sea, weightless and free. Your voice is all that's left of me. And, you know, I heard that line for the Silver Surfer, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, when has the Silver Surfer ever made it into a song? I mean, ever. And of course, having said that, I'm sure that there are some of you out there who will immediately tell me exactly where you've heard Silver Surfer in a song. But you know what? I've never heard the Herald of Galactus show up in a rock and roll song. So for me, it was, wow. You know, I couldn't believe it. I mean, you hear about Superman. Occasionally, you know, once or twice, you hear about Batman. And you actually hear about Superman just way too much, I guess, perhaps because he's such an iconic figure. But Silver Surfer? I mean, that's when I heard that lyric, I'm like, you know, I can't wait to get this CD. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can listen to the Honest to God track. I'm going to be playing it next, and I just want to say before I get too far... I just want to say before I get into the actual song that I got permission from the band to play this. This isn't a Creative Commons kind of thing. You know, they own all the lyrics and music and all of that stuff, and, you know, so don't reproduce this anywhere else. If you want to do is use it on your podcast, please contact the Swindlers. You can reach them at their website, which is www.atomicswindlers.com, and of course that will be in the show notes. So, without further ado, here is Float.
Without a sound, don't
Okay, so that was Float. I hope you folks liked it as much as I did. After I had heard Float, I couldn't wait to get this album. And I was kind of hoping that there would be more songs like this on the album. But truth be told, it's kind of unique. There aren't a lot of other songs that are as slow and sensual as this one. But that's not to say that the other songs are bad. When I first listened through it, I was kind of a little disappointed that there weren't more tracks like Float. But as I listened through it a couple more times, the other songs really started to grow on me, and you know, to the point where I'm standing there in the shower humming some of these. And I think that's the point I knew where, you know, this is more than just a band that, you know, I'll just review it and kind of toss it away. I mean, when it's 6 a.m. and you're humming one of these songs, that says something, right? Now, as for the other tracks on the album, they really kind of run the whole gauntlet. I guess it's Gambit. Anyway, the whole point is that they've got a pretty good range. I don't think you can nail them down into one particular kind of song. There's stuff in here that's straightforward sci-fi. They've got some ballads. You know, they've got some stuff that's... I wouldn't say that it sounds like the Talking Heads, but it's got that kind of playful nature to it. Same thing. Another thing that this entire album reminded me of was the Rocky Horror Picture Show. With, you know, just kind of the over-the-top fun aspect to it that I alluded to during the whole bit about the fifth element. Now, one of the tracks that I really liked, and I think it's representative of some of the other sounds that you'll hear on the CD, is Space Bandit. I really like this. It's got a fast-paced driving sound, particularly with the guitar solo, but I also really love the lyrics. It may take two or three listens or a visit to their website to read the lyrics, but if you're like me, as you listen to this, listen to these lyrics, you'll just kind of get this silly grin on your face when, you know, you start realizing exactly what they're talking about. I can safely say that I have never heard any other band that sounds like this or has lyrics that are like this. You just realize just how much into sci-fi they are. And what it reminded me of, to tell you the truth, was the first time that I saw the Tick cartoon. You say, what the hell does the Tick have to do with music? But you know, when you watch the Tick animated series, you're like, here are people who get geekdom, who get comic books, who get what's so great about it, who get what's so freaking funny, who just get the whole thing. And that's exactly the thought I had when I listened to this album. Here are a group of people who just get it. So, without further ado, and you know, I kind of said that last time, so I'll just say, and now, here is Space Bandit.
Children of the Venus Dream.
Okay, so that's Space Bandit. I guess, you know, I've spent an awful lot of time kind of playing up the band, talking about all the things I like, and that kind of naturally begs the question, well, what don't you like? And when it comes down to it, it's basically this. You know, not all of the tracks are as well produced as Float, and there are some rough edges that could have been sanded off with enough time and presumably money. But then again, you know, those rough edges are also part of what make the sound so endearing. I mean, this is obviously a labor of love, and, you know, when it comes right down to it, doesn't that really describe most of what science fiction and science fiction fandom is all about? When I did this review for Nuketown, I gave the album 8 out of 10, and primarily that was because Nuketown's rating system doesn't support decimals. It's really more of an 8.5, 8.75. You know, if you're going to give this a letter grade, say like a really strong B+. You know, these are folks that I definitely want to pay attention to what they're going to be doing next. I look forward to, hopefully, you know, they'll release another album. And I definitely would like to see these folks go far. Now, you can learn more about the band by visiting their website at www.atomicswindlers.com. The link will be in the show notes, as will a link to CD Baby, where you can buy the CD if you like. If you do buy the CD, please tell them that Nuketown sent you. And, well, that pretty much sums up the review segment of this particular podcast. Now, I have more than just a review on this particular podcast. I also have Nuketown's first ever radioactive podcast contest. And entering is easy. Well, pretty easy. And I assure you that it was much easier to enter this contest than it is for me to freaking record this without screwing up. So anyway, here's the deal. You check out Radioactive number 8 and the show notes. And, you know, write down what Atomic Swindler songs we played. Should be fairly easy, right? Then send an email to nuketown@gmail.com with the names of the songs, your postal address, and an email where you can be reached. When I receive your email, you'll be entered to win the Atomic Swindler's first CD, Coming Out Electric, as well as an Atomic Swindler's t-shirt. If you send an audio comment with your email, you'll receive two entries in the contest. Four winners will be selected, and the contest will end Monday, June 13th. And everything will be mailed out Tuesday, June 14th, or at least that is my goal. As far as restrictions go, in order to prevent me, I told you this was going to be harder for me to say than it is for you guys to enter the freaking contest. In order to prevent me from going broke mailing out all the prizes, this contest is restricted to individuals living in the continental United States. Sorry, folks. I will try and do something for everybody else in a future podcast, but for right now, that's the sole restriction I'm putting on this. Oh, and you can only enter once. So, again, send your entries to nuketown@gmail.com. Talking about getting in touch with Nuketown, you can get to us at the email I just mentioned, the whole nuketown@gmail.com thing. Comments, you know, are always welcome in addition to your contest entries. You can also Skype me. I set up a Skype account at the Skype name is just Nuketown. If you're not sure what Skype is, I will include a link to it in the show notes so you can check that out and download the software. Basically, it's technically a voice over IP solution for both Windows and for Mac. And I haven't actually had a chance to really use it yet, so, you know, one more reason for folks to send me a message so I can actually play with this new technology. The last thing I wanted to say was that next time on Radioactive, I will be doing a review of Orson Scott Card's novel Ender's Shadow, which is a retelling of the classic SF novel Ender's Game, from the perspective of Bean, another student who attends battle school with Ender. Now, if you don't know what Ender's Game is, well, damn it, how could you be a sci-fi fan and not have read Ender's Game? I mean, just go out and read it now, okay? I'll include a link in the show notes so that, you know, you have no excuse to go out and read the book. But, you know, if by some chance you still haven't read it by the time the next podcast rolls around, that's okay. I'll get you up to speed. I'll give a brief summary of Ender's Game, and then talk about Ender's Shadow. So that's it, folks. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.